Welcome to the Prophets in Pajamas podcast. I'm Danielle DeTeach, or Coach Danny D, and I help women to create luxury brands by creating processes and tightening their branding. This is where we talk about how to build your business in a way that allows you to work with ease and enjoy your life. My happy space is spending as much time as humanly possible in my pajamas, and I want to help others to find their happy space while still running profitable businesses. So get comfortable and let's dig in. Hello and welcome to the Prophets in Pajamas podcast. I am your host, Coach Danny D, and I'm always here trying to help professional women and entrepreneurs to find their space of joy, fulfillment, and leave that grind culture behind. So I'm very excited today. I have Catherine Swain, and she is an LMFT.
Yep.
She's also a marriage and family therapist service in the New Orleans area. She is also a premarital counselor. Highly recommend premarital counselor.
I highly recommend.
You know, I'm about to hit 20 years in the game. I highly recommend premarital. A Reiki healer. Am I saying that correctly? Okay. Catherine has over 10 years of experience in counseling individuals and couples, and she currently runs a private practice. Catherine is passionate about making sure we're aligned with our journeys, and y'all know I love that word alignment, and purpose, and that we are experiencing the most of it. Catherine currently works with the NOLA Black Mental Health Matters organization, and I'm definitely going to ask you a little bit more about that, and with the LAMCD of the Louisiana Counseling Division. So, Catherine, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you on today. Before we get started into the topic, tell me just a little bit about yourself and how you got to the counseling space, and especially the marriage counseling space.
Let's see. So, well, singing didn't work out. and then I have, it's probably more of a slightly degrading joke, but it's one I tell of myself because it was just where I was at the time. I have this weird fascination with relationships and couples, and that I wasn't in one. So I found out that you can go and specifically work with couples or learn a systemic version of how to do therapy, because it's not like I can't treat individuals in the same way. It's just, it's about seeing it from a different perspective.
Okay.
And so, you know, I work with individuals dealing with the same way as well as with couples. So, and then so I jumped into that.
Awesome. I always I'm fascinated in backstories. I always, how did you come to the thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay. So today our topic is going to be dismantling the idea of being on.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so excited to talk about this because I think that it's something culturally, especially of, you know, Black women, of mm-hmm. this feeling of constantly being on. So one, can you expand on that concept? And then let's just dive into getting ourselves through this.
So I think it comes from a lot of different areas, right? First and foremost, American self has always had a very independent, very hustle, capitalistic lifestyle, right? It's like we sleep, eat, sleep, breathe, this, have to get to the top, have to always work. We have such a way of doing work, life, culture, that other countries are just kind of baffled by it. Yeah, I don't know about you. I would really love for America to adopt the like 2 month siesta that like some some countries have, where like it's a slow period, and so literally stores will be closed for like a month. So, I am a service industry worker. I am close from it, but I have made enough throughout the year.
Right.
Or even I think what it's Spain, where afternoon lunch break is like 2 hours. So
Right.
I'm not docked, what I gotta rush through my food for 30 minutes to get back to my 8 hour day.
And it takes, depending on where you work, it takes 15 minutes just to get out the building.
Oh my God.
If
There
you
goes
work in a
15 minutes
high
of my
rise
break.
building, just to get on the elevator and get out the building, that's 15 minutes right there.
Right. And so now where it comes down to us, one, I think we can maybe also put in there a little bit of that mindset of we have to be on, we have to be the best in order for someone to not have to nitpick every little piece of our character so somebody can take us seriously. And
Right.
so we can believe that we can do the job. Like I have to be twice as good all the time. That's the idea that's like
Yes.
ingrained in us, right?
Yes.
And so if you're not doing that, if you're not pushing yourself forward, some people have this mindset of what are you doing there?
Right. Right. But then, the question begs is like, okay, so then when do you stop? Like, when do you, I was listening to TikTok video the other day, and the lady was talking about transitioning friendships, and she was saying, she knew she was at this phase and she needed to transition. She didn't know how to decide what friends to let go of. And she heard someone else say, the ones that you feel like you're still performing for, the ones that the relationship is performative, right? And I bring that up just from the standpoint of, when are we not performing? Sometimes you don't realize until it's like put in front of you that way, like, when am I just being? Like, no mask, no performance, no. Like, this is a strategy to get to the next, thing.
Right.
I'm just existing. I'm just enjoying. I'm just being.
Well, I think that I'm gonna take the statement a little bit back there, and the idea that you have to perform for your friends.
Right.
Like that, I think that's the problem with they're not your friends. That's the problem with you.
Yeah,
Why are
oh,
you
definitely.
performing? Why are you performing for people who you're supposed to be close with? Part of building relationships is vulnerability, which a lot of people don't like to do. And if we're going to talk about in the context of work culture, of hustle culture, I don't have time to be emotional. I don't have time to lay my guards down. I think also we all of us have been affected by somebody who may take advantage of that.
Right.
So it's, I don't have time for it. But if you can't be vulnerable with your closest friends, I also want to go back to the statement of I'm trying to decide which friend to let go of. Where do you get to a point in your life where it's like
Not, you know,
I'm going to
yeah,
decide which friend I gotta let go of here? Any me my mo. Like I'm dwindling down my social media.
I
So I go back
No,
to I
I
need.
totally get where you're coming from. I was not connected to the concept of the friend part. It was more the performative part, like that. It stood out to me that they felt that they had to be performing even in the closest of relationships. And I think for some people, that really is true, that, we all have seen situations where something happened to somebody that we know, and we didn't know it was happening until it got to kind of like rock bottom. And so that says that even
in some of their closest relationships, like you said, it's not necessarily reflexive of the friend, but there's still that guard, you know, and how do we start to let that guard down? And how do we, 'cause I think sometimes a guard is began for protection, right? But then becomes detrimental for any type of growth.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a guard, it could be a fail safe if you are more of a people pleasing person, like you feel like you need to perform in order to keep this person around. If you feel like you have to perform because it keeps the relationship at a, I guess what, a neutral base, and you're not rocking the boat. Or even if you felt like this person at one point was giving you something.
Right.
So, I mean, a lot of it has, you know, I think what we're getting to is that a lot of it has more to do with you maybe needing to sit with yourself so that you aren't, you learn more about yourself and what it is that you need. The people around, what it is that you need to be a little bit more vulnerable with those relationships so that they're not very transactional. They're not work. They're not just I give you give me. And that they become a little bit more deeply personal.
Yeah,
And that's
definitely.
where guard will start going down because then it's like, okay, I am getting to this place of trusting. And being okay with you being around and trusting that you're going to be around no matter what, no matter who I am.
And I think that just the word trust, when you said that word, it sat because, you know, I know I've been a person to say, is, you know, very cavalier, I got trust issues. And I think it's something that is said very often, but not explored. Like, not explored in a sense of there's some situations where you should have concern, but it's not blanketed. You know what I'm saying? Like, every situation is different and needs to have its own assessment. But I don't know that earlier you used the word vulnerability. I think that that is something that a lot of people avoid heavily. You know, like I don't want to be open.
Well, again, remember, if I'm supposed to be on all the time, if I'm supposed to be trying to do better than even you, if I have been even taught through generations to not trust people, it's not just I don't have time for the vulnerability, it's I don't trust sharing when I'm supposed to just give it to God, right? And that's not a any way of seeing
No,
anything against like religion, but that is that like very, yeah, right? That's that very, I would
it's the
call it a
cultural
little,
response. I mean, we grow up in environments of your household business stays in your household, you know, not to trust others. And I mean, all of those things were, you know, survival mechanisms for our ancestors for their time period, and not to say that they don't apply today because we have our own situations to navigate, but you know, there are a lot of negative effects to some of the things that were taught to us to try to protect us, but I think have created a situation where we are protected to the extent that we are not able to receive new things, positive things, because
Not
we
letting
are,
other people in.
yeah, we've locked other people in, other ideas, other, you know, experiences, because that is so deeply ingrained that you're not supposed to be this way. You're not supposed to open up and you know, I definitely grew up in that type of environment. I mean, my grandmother was the extreme of, look, talk to me about this when you see me in person. I don't know who she thought was like listening to her calls. Like, I didn't know she was on somebody's list or what, but
Right.
it was that serious. So how do you know, when we moved into our house, y'all have all of these windows and they open, you know, and I'm like, 'cause I like the light in to come in inside. But that was like a, you know, like they were having heart attack. This was, you know, the worst. I'm like, first of all, my house backs up to a levee, and who back there? Like, and if they are, they gonna see what they gonna see. But that is, you know, just a cultural thing that we have to, like, you know, you take it to God or you take it to your grave. But
How did it help you in real time?
right.
I think also, like, being closed off doesn't allow you to grow because you're only learning and listening to what is in that box instead of things that would be helpful for you to
Yes.
expand. So.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And earlier you mentioned, you know, just traveling to other places. And for me, traveling has been so eye-opening. I'm like, so we just crazy over here by ourselves. Like, because you go other places and everybody is smiling and they, you know, laid back environments. They have the elusive balance that we are always like
Yeah, we're trying to
chasing,
get.
right? And I'm just like, we can't just, y'all don't want take some notes up. No, we just gonna keep doing this over here. And the first time when I went to London, I went to London for a balloon bill. And we're working, and it was so funny because you can tell who there was from America and who wasn't. Because we are just like on it, go, 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 go. And then, you know, like one of the ladies, she just sitting there sipping on her tea. And I'm like, well, girl, you know, we got to finish this here work. And she's looking at me like, what is wrong with you? Like, could you? And I'm not a really, you know, high strung person. So, like, I had to take a step back because I was just like, oh, like, you know, like, y'all are really chill. Like, this is different. But again, like you said, if we're closed off, we don't get to experience those things and realize that there's a different way to be. So my question is, because I think a lot of times we are so used to going through life that we don't think about some of these things. What are some things that we could be looking out for to say, you know what? Maybe I am in that space of being on all of the time.
Like, what are like maybe symptoms, or like what do would you notice when you're doing too much?
Yeah, maybe some symptoms, maybe something like,
Yeah.
you know, that I could think about, like, okay, if I'm never feel relaxed, you know, like things to kind of look
I mean,
out for.
that would be one. If I'm tired all the time, if I'm not feeling relaxed, and I think what's interesting is that some of the bigger signs are signs that you're not going to notice right away because you're just kind of like, oh, like this is normal. And then after a while, you're like, no, this is not normal. But one big sign is the I'm not waking up in the morning with the vigor that I once had. And I'd rather be doing something else. I'm always tired when I wake up, or I'm like annoyed, or I'm annoyed to get to work, and so therefore I'm not on work on time. Not really interested in doing any of my work well. So that's one of the biggest things. Sometimes people experience boredom. Boredom, especially when you have a lot to do and you're just like, this is no longer interesting for me. That would be another sign of like, I need to change something up. I need to look within myself and how I'm feeling. So yeah, the tiredness. We can go down the list of like what burnout symptoms, like especially if you get to that point of being burnt out, where now it's like irritability, like other life responsibilities are being affected, your relationships are being affected, all of those things.
Yeah, I been there, done it.
We
like
all kind of,
been there, done that. Got the t-shirt.
right, we all like, well, I think that's the thing, right? Like, a lot of people, I kind of go back and forth with the idea of like if burnout is something you could prevent and never experience, or if it's kind of, what's the word? If it's inevitable. And a lot of times I keep saying it's going to be inevitable because you don't just experience burnout with work. You could experience burnout in your relationship. You could experience burnout in like your hobbies, different things along those lines. And so I feel like it's always inevitable, but that's why you're always working towards something. That's why you always have some kind of goals in mind. And I understand that itself may feel exhausting because it's like, why don't I just chill? But that can be one of the goals, right? Like,
Right.
if one of my goals is that I chill, that I quiet down, that I take some rest, then I'm always, what's the phrase? I stay ready so you don't have to get ready. I'm always there. I'm
Right.
always there. I'm always at a restful spot.
Right.
I'm always at a moment where I can stop and think about and process the other things that may not be going well in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that it is inevitable. I think a big part of the problem is that we are not taught skills to navigate it. And I know, everybody has their different thing. I feel like I can pinpoint my like rock bottom moment with that. And that coming back out of that is kind of where this like the podcast, the coaching, working with ease, all of that is connected to coming out of that rock bottom. But I think now it's not that I don't experience burnout, but I have better tools to deal with it. And I've created life in a way that is not, before it felt like, okay, I'm about to crash and burn, but I still got 4,000 things to do. Whereas now I already know what that looks like. And so I'm like, no, y'all putting too many things on here. Yeah, nope, no, you can't, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that because I know what it looks like coming. And then I also know when I'm feeling it, what, that I can kind of take a step back. But you can't do that if you're in the mix of it. You know what I'm saying? Like if you literally have those 4,000 things to do, then either you don't feel that you can step back, or maybe you actually can't step back in that moment.
You may not feel like you can step back, but the one thing I always tell my clients is, do you have a choice?
Right.
Like, we look at, and I think I said this before about how I feel like mental health as a whole has been treated, especially with people who are very hustle culture, right? It's too soft. It's not important. What is, like, they don't understand how that's going to help you. And it's like, okay, but if I can manage my life, what makes me think I can manage my business or my job?
Right.
If I'm not good here, I'm not going to be good there. I may tell myself I am, and I'm doing this work, and then I'm gonna pass out, and actually everything's gonna fall apart. I could possibly,
Yeah.
because you're never going to reach that moment of being okay with all of these things that you're doing if you don't take a moment to regroup.
Right.
So, do you have a choice whether to not? I don't think you do. Because, I mean, it's there, or, you know, I can say for me, when I hit a stressful rock bottom, and it was more so being at an agency that was really affecting me mentally and emotionally, I looked at myself and I was just like, I have a choice to continue along this path, or I can possibly end up in hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Which one? And I decided I had the money for the hospital. So we were going to, I was going to take my mental health into as importance, and without any promise of another job or other prospects, I said, you know what? I'm going to just drive some Lyft and Uber. We're going to pray about it. And we're going to figure it out afterwards. But here's my 2 weeks notice. I can't do this anymore. And I always say that universe, God, whoever it is that you talk to, when you finally let the thing go that you've been holding on to, that you really believe is the thing that makes the world go round,
yes,
what happens? Opportunity, the door opens, and
yes,
not
ma'am.
Even 2 weeks later, I had my first experience in private practice that let me down where I'm at now, which I was just like, whoo, I don't know what took you so long to go in private practice, but this is where you need to be. I'm not somebody that tells everybody they need to be in entrepreneur and mm-hmm. business, because I ain't for everybody.
It's not. It is absolutely not.
I didn't think it was for me. I said the last thing, three things I did not want to be: a teacher, a lawyer, and in business. And then here I am. But with my personality and who I am, it works. And so having that sense of independence, but then still be connected with other people, and the way private practices usually work when you have like a group of them, it worked well for me. And I all of the problems that I was having before, I was able to take back, rest. I was actually able to take the time to find myself and figure out why a lot of things that I was not understanding about myself, what those things were. And so I feel like a whole new person from that point. It's one of those moments I can sit here and say, like, I completely shifted into who I am now, and a much, much better version of myself.
I love that you shared that. I love that story. I'm not going to tell the whole version of my story, because I've told it before, and y'all go listen to a past episode, y'all find it. But the parallels are unreal. So,
mm-hmm.
The rock bottom started when my grandmother passed. My grandmother raised me very close to my grandmother. And it just was that moment, even before she passed, when she was sick and I was, you know, doing stuff for her, it was that moment where all of that crashed in. Like, wait, you're doing like 12,000 things. And, so that was the start of it. Culminated with me quitting my job. I mean, you know, kudos to you for giving 2 weeks notice. I was just like, dude. because I was I went to my husband's health fair the weekend prior to me quitting my job. The lady who took my blood pressure said, she says, when is your next doctor's appointment? And I said, well, actually, I have one on Tuesday, because my doctor was concerned about my blood pressure. Never had blood pressure issues before. The lady said, can I call you? I was like, well, shoot, I'm about to die. The lady didn't see me. I don't know what them numbers say, but they ain't good if the lady talking about, can I call you?
Right.
And that same day of that doctor's appointment was the same day that I, you know, quit the job. It just, everything came to a head. But to your point, literally the next day, I was in physical therapy, because yet again, if you don't shut down, you know, God will.
Yeah. And that's what I personally feel a rock bottom is. You've been shut down.
He'll shut you down. He'll be like, okay, uh-huh, you want to play? All
Not
right,
listening.
Let me show you something real quick. So I'm at physical therapy and I turn my phone off. When I turn my phone back on, I had a phone call from the Pelicans. They were in the playoffs at the time for my balloon business. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're in the playoffs. Can you get us something for tomorrow? Huh? Yeah, because I, you know, they didn't know I had a full-time job. I'm like, sure. Because I ain't got no job no more.
Right.
Then I go outside, walk to the car, and I get a call from one of my clients. Hey, I know I gave your number to so-and-so to do the inside of the stadium, but we're doing a beer garden and outside of the stadium. Can you do something for that as well?
Mm-hmm.
Looked up at the sky in the parking lot. I said, so you've been waiting on me the whole time, Lord.
Yeah. We know you make that decision, make that move.
We, you know, sometimes things are hard because we,
mm-hmm.
we're the one making it hard.
Yep.
Because we are fighting so hard for a life that we don't even like that.
Right.
But it's familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And that unknown is scary, but you know, like you said about the whole transformation, I am such a different person than I was then, now. And I wish that I knew, you know, half of what I know now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you would have told the person maybe, you know, a couple of years prior to that, that this was even possible, I would have been like, uh-huh, girl, all right, cool. You know, like, all right, yeah, sure.
Right.
Whatever, you know, that sound cute. But I think, you know, I think it's important, and I mean, that's why I do this, is to raise awareness to people that, you know, when you said that word choice, we have more choices than we
believe
that we do.
We do.
And like I do a calendar detox with my clients. You decide what goes on that calendar. You like it's yours. Like you type the stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we feel like we're so obligated in life.
Mm-hmm.
But we get to decide. And you know, again, there's some things, yeah, you gotta, you know, you gotta find some kind of way to pay energy and your mortgage. And, you know, there's some things that have to kind of happen, but they don't have mm-hmm. to happen in the way that you think. And they don't have to happen to your detriment.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that story. But I want people to hear as many of those stories as possible because I want them to start realizing you could make that shift, whatever it is in your life.
You can do it without the rock bottom. And I think unfortunately it unfortunately takes people rock bottom to, especially when you're not taking care of your mental health, like it takes people at rock bottom to make the change. Because now you finally get the feeling that you probably should have had before, which was, I ain't got no left.
Right.
Like before, like you didn't have the faith in yourself to be like, I ain't got no left.
Right.
Now you truly see it of just like, I ain't got no left. I got no lose.
Right.
And so it's like, and I think once you've been there, like we have, it's like, okay, so now I understand it even more of just like, okay, well, I've been there, I'm not going back. But if I wanted to pivot again, or if I wanted to grow again, I don't have anything to lose.
Right. Right.
I don't have anything to lose. What am I going to do? I'm not going to go rock bottom just because I'm going right back where I was. Like, that's actually, to go in a little bit of like therapeutic, some vocabulary words when we talk about the stages of change.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest stages is preparation. And so you work through that and everything, and then you do some action and maintenance. And so sometimes when you kind of fall back on things or you're not doing the work or you have to go back to the drawing board, you're not going back all the way to the first stage. There's no way you can.
Right.
you go back maybe to the preparation part where you start redoing some things, but you never go right back to that bottom. You've been.
Right. I mean, 'cause I can see that you've learned stuff that you can't unlearn.
Right. It, especially like when it's, we talk about the idea of failing or I messed up. Well, or you learned how not to do
Right, right.
that. You're really kind of fail. You just learned how not to do that. Okay, well, that's not how I do that thing. And so I just move on from it.
Right. And yeah, I think it is like this concept of like, things become more fluid. Like there's no like pass or fail in life. Like, but we are very, very hung up on that. I don't know if it's because of school or what, but we're very hung up on pass or fail, but it's just, you just learned something.
Human nature has ability where it's like we have to understand things in categories. And so it helps us to get a world view of that. When what we don't understand is that those boundaries of the categories aren't always just hard box. And so things in life are actually fluid. People are in a gray, we're all kind of in this gray area. We're just there.
Right.
We're not in like
Right.
boxes. And so the quicker you get yourself out of this need to be in a box, and just let life, I'm sorry, I don't want to say let life happen to you, because I honestly think that's what happened when we were in this hustle lifestyle. You want to start flowing with it.
Yeah.
And by flowing with it, you're not so much in this box. Because I'm also willing to say that people who work so hard to not be in a box actually wind up putting themselves in their own little box
Yeah.
instead of allowing for them to grow. And I'm about to use my hands because I'm very industry, but I'm just like it flows. It
No, it's
came all
flowing.
of it.
It's kind of just flowing with it, like I think it's just removing the rigidness. It's got to be this way, it's got to be this thing, and not only do we put ourselves in a box, we live in a society where people are also trying to put everything in these like boxes as well. And so like when you break free, people be like, "Oh, wait, hold up. No, get back in. Where is your box? Get back in that box." And it's like, I will not. Like I broke out the box for a reason, and I will be out here, and I'm going to, experience life in this different way and understand that sometimes there might be setbacks, and I don't even know if I want to use that word, but just there are
Crosses all
moments in
time.
life that don't go the way that you think that they should have, but they have a purpose in the grand scheme of your life. And if you let it play out, instead of like trying to fight it, and you just let it play out, one day you'll understand what that moment was about. Like there's so many times I can look back on and be like, oh, that's why I needed to learn that thing. Because at that moment it felt like the end of the world, but I needed to learn that thing because if I hadn't learned that thing, I wouldn't be ready to do this thing that I have to do tomorrow. It's just lessons, and it's no, I think we take like a personal, like we put our worth towards whether or not we succeed or fail at a thing.
Well, it's hard not to. I mean, especially when you think about like how we ingrain our identity into the things that we do.
Yeah.
So when I mess up something or when I do something, then it's like, oh, this is a reflection. This could be a reflection onto me as this role that I play. And then not only that, but again, going back to the fact that we're talking very individualized here, that's an entire culture of people who then may put that same critique. I was actually thinking about that this morning. I'm like, I don't know any other people other than Black people that know how to always critique something that don't need to be critiqued. And
Oh, Jesus.
it's just like, but do you understand?
Well, so my husband is a big he's big into hip hop. I don't know if I want to say hip hop. Like he's into like Common, those type of rap.
Yeah.
And
These are called,
so
yeah, I like them. Yeah.
I just feel like the word has been expanded, to mean a lot more than it did initially, I guess. But so he's into those type of rappers, and he gonna kill me because I'm not gonna remember who the rapper was, but it was a particular one of the rappers did an interview, and they asked him about the effects of rap on the Black culture, and what he said back was, "I've never heard anybody ask a rock and roll artist about their effects on their culture. The Black culture is the only culture that, bears that responsibility." And I've been thinking about that a lot lately, and not just in music, but just in life. Like there's this weight of responsibility that we carry, but that weight comes with a whole lot of judgment. And like there's not that ability to just be, because everything is a representation of the race, and everything is, are you helping the furtherment of the race? And I'm like, man, that's a whole lot to be asking me to do. Like, I just was trying to have some breakfast this morning. But like you said, it does come again with this like criticism, and especially with social media, you see it. Like, I'm just like, did you wake up and choose violence? Like, it could be something so innocent. Like somebody will post something, and I was in a group, and this person posted something, and I mean, to be fair, it didn't look good, but that wasn't the point. You could have just scrolled right on along and just went about your day, but people were just going on there just like attacking this person, and I'm just like, do you even realize you're doing that? Because if you're doing it to other people, you're doing it to yourself too. Like, you don't just, you can't turn, that's not something you turn on and off. And it's like we have to learn how to, speak positively to ourselves and to others. Because I think also when you consume that, whether you are a part of it or not, when you consume that, it then furthers this idea of being on, because you're like, oh, I have to be perfect, or they're gonna come for me. And I think that that brings us back to, the young lady earlier talking about her friend, like that's just making a full circle for me right now about, having performative relationships with your friends. And I'm just, like where does it stop?
And it definitely like it's un it's just unnecessary in some cases, because especially when it's something that it's like you don't have your own background in it. You just have your opinion. And unfortunately, one of the biggest issues of social media is giving a platform for people that don't need a platform. Not everybody is worth it. I'm so sorry. I know where.
No, that's okay. Look,
There's some things. I'm so sorry.
that's okay. That's what we do over here. We say some things, we step on toes. They're not gonna know where they at unless one or two toes get stepped on. And that's a part of the process. But I mean, I feel like that is essential to healing though. Like, you if we can't talk about it, we can't heal. But no, I agree with you as far as this platform. Boy, boy, social media, people be just saying things, and I'm like, oh, you probably should have kept that one.
Right?
Maybe to yourself. Maybe think it out a little bit more. You know, flesh it out.
Right. And
Consult a friend.
that's a friend.
Consult a friend. See what they say.
That would work if you had good friends, but then we're back to
but
the
yeah, but people
same
be
question
egging
of
it
maybe I need to
because
question about the friends I have.
because I see that as well. Like I'll see a post and I'm like, they're like 4,000 people amening this foolishness, and the one person that's like, no, like that person gets ignored, and I'm just like, that's the one person that probably had the background. Like sometimes it's like I saw something, and whatever it was, I mean, everybody was going back and forth, back and forth, and this person was like, okay, I'm a lawyer, and I mean, that person got completely ignored. I'm like, so y'all just gonna make up your own rules? But the lady said she work at the courthouse. She t said that she has the actual. No, y'all don't want. All right, thank
She
you.
has the degree, but because it makes sense and it's not outlandish and it's not what you want to hear, we're going to just ignore that person.
But we gotta learn how to hear stuff we don't want to hear, because that is also a part of growth. You can't grow if you can, if somebody can't tell you when you out of
You
line.
want to hear.
Like somebody got to be able to tell you. Like everybody in my friend group know, like that I don't want to be the person that's out there. Like don't have me out here looking like a fool. Just tell me,
Right.
that I'm wrong, and don't call me up and ask me my opinion if you don't want it, because I'm not gonna stand in wrongness with you. I don't care how much I love you. I don't care if we knew each other since we was five. Right is right and wrong is wrong, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and co-sign your wrongness. I will, you know, I'm just gonna tell it. So if you want to co-sign it, you're gonna have to call somebody different, because to me, that's real friendship. Real friendship is I can, you know, sit with you and say, you know what, I understand you upset and I understand that you're hurt. I hear what you're saying, but girl, you're wrong. You're
I
wrong.
have
I'm sorry.
a story about that. I'm trying to make it as quick as possible, but I always bring it up. I had called a male friend of mine, just to, pick his brain from a male perspective of something. And it was about just the theme was just being overly communicative, with a person I had met and trying to figure out, like, was it me? Was it him? What happened? And the response that I got was not really you, but it was you because your expectations of this person communicating with you were too high. And I think it's because you're a therapist. And my response to that was, or people can learn how to communicate appropriately, because I'm not always on with therapy. Sometimes I specifically shut it down. I was thinking about the other day. I was like, I shut it down completely to where something was going on, and I was like, oh, I didn't even do any like little processing of what was happening over there because I shut it down. I'm not on
Right,
work.
like, look, I'm just sitting here chilling, like, minding my business.
So, just being able to communicate with people also is very important to me. Yes, because since I do it every day, I don't want to have to sit here and fight with you on communication in my personal life. And and me telling him that, he was just like, okay, but can you actually count like how many people you know and are close to you that you could communicate with? And I was like, all of them. Why would I have people around me who I can't communicate with open? And
But
he can't sort stuff out. And then like he had nothing to say to that. And I was just like, that's why you have some of these issues. I don't have those issues.
I totally agree with you, and that's how I run my life, but that is not the norm. That is not the norm. You can look at interactions on social media. You can look at interactions between, you know, not that close level of friends, but once you start to get, you know, branch out,
Oh,
and
yeah.
it's like, what is happening? Like, you know, like I'm just like, I don't even understand how we got here. Like, you ready to, knuck if you buck, but you can't listen. Like,
Right. And I
it
get that
wasn't
that's
that type
not,
of situation. How did we get here?
yeah. And I get that that's not what a lot of people do, but I also make the statement of if you want to have the friends that are actually going to tell you what you need to tell, who are going to be honest with you, to have that open level of communication. In order to be able to have open communication, you have to be vulnerable and be able to trust that person, or have an expectation that you are offering this level of communication. I want to be able to speak back with you. It does kind of get you to a more intimate, I won't say lonely place because I'm not lonely, but I don't have, 50 million people around me. I have like five good people
Oh no, the
around me,
number
and
gonna
I
be
am fine with
look,
that.
we look, let's be transparent. The number gonna be small. It's gonna be like
Teeny
I say jokingly, I'm like, I got 10 people I like in real life, like 10 people.
tiny.
Like the number is going to be small,
Very
it just
small.
is because it in reality, the fullness of you is only going to connect to the fullness of so many other people, right? And it is what it is. Now, do I know a lot of people? I know a whole lot of people. A lot of people that I think are cool people and this, that, and the other. But I mean, when it comes down to it, the number of people who have figuratively, seen me naked, it's a smaller, much smaller number. But those people are so valuable. You know what I'm saying? Like, those people have gotten me through life.
Yeah, and that's where you want to get to, because that's also, it also kind of falls in alignment with not being so on, because I'm not having to engage with so many people. I won't have all this stuff that's happening online. I won't have all this issue with like criticism because I'm not really engaging with you. And not only that, but I'm not doing it. I don't feel the need to say every little thing. If one, it don't matter to me. If it feels like it's not going to actually be beneficial, that's actually the grounds for like good constructive criticism. But also, I may ask it in a way or talk to you in a way where it's not like I'm just going to give you my opinion instead of actually communicating with you. Like, hey, so this thing, what was your goal here? Because maybe I'm also not understanding what you were
Right.
trying to do.
And I think as that type of friend, two things. One, you are invested in the bigger picture, right? Like not just a moment. But two, as that type of friend, any kind of feedback or criticism is dipped in love. And that's a different sort of thing because they got people that could come for you, and run down. You should have did this. You should, no. Like you said, there has to be that benefit. What's the benefit of me saying this thing and not based on my personal opinion either, in the sense of we're different. So like something that is totally like work for you is good for you is, that might not be my thing. But I'm gonna celebrate you in it because you received this thing that was beneficial to you. But if there's something that I'm like, girl, look, let me tell you about this here, make sure you account for this. Like I'm not trying to stop you from, I want to do X, Y, and Z. Cool. I know you can do it because I know who you are. I know your resume. I know you can do it. Pay attention to this because I know this thing, this pothole is on this street at, this point. Pay attention to this. Just make sure you got this accounted for and go and do great things. It's different than, girl, but what are you show? Like, we. you know, that it you have to make sure, because I think sometimes people do attempt vulnerability, but they attempt it with the wrong people.
Yeah. And that's so heartbreaking to me, because it's like, here you are trying to do better for your life, and your first experience that you have this, and then, all stuff like that does is like reinforces the wall
Right.
instead of it being, okay, how are you learning that maybe this person wasn't the best person to do that with?
Yeah. Because it's not, this is another thing I want to make very clear. It's not for everybody. You can't just walk up to a stranger and be like, I'm going to be fully vulnerable with you. It's not for everybody. Everybody can handle it. And everybody may not be that person for you. They may be the best friend for so and so, but they may not be your person. And so, you know, it does take time and I'm gonna say levels, like, you know, tiptoe a little bit, you know. Feel it out, like, okay, all right, well, you seem cool. All right, we can keep going.
I'll say this, and I mean, I think this could be just with our relationships, the same way it could be related to work, hustle, flow, right? I always try to tell people to try to learn how to be present within yourself and present in the life that you're working through, because that will allow you to be able to step back from yourself and actually look and gaze upon what's happening and make those decisions within yourself of what's good, what's bad. And so the same thing with attempting to do things differently. I'll say this, when I, and as an example, when I hit rock bottom, that also meant like I wound up in a place where it was just myself and I had to reconfigure who I was, even with friends and in relationships. And so it took a number of years for some relationships to come back, but they came back much better.
Yeah.
And so in saying that, like having those moments of understanding, okay, like this is a moment of vulnerability, it doesn't have to be like you're looking at it from day to day. Like sometimes those things don't pop up until they actually pop up as you're moseying along with life. And that's where we also add in, we can also add in the idea of that flow, because if you're flowing along with what it is you want, it's going to come to you. May have moments that kind of test you a little bit, but that's life. And but the goal is that you're following along the alignment that you want, and so you're making those hard choices that may work out great in your favor, may not work so smoothly, but
Yeah.
eventually you have
Yeah.
an outcome you want.
Yeah.
I never tell people I want, I never tell people that I want your relationship to end, or that you to just completely leave a job that you like. But I'm always kind of like, okay, so but what if something doesn't change?
Right.
Or are you willing to figure out how you can live with this? How
Yeah.
does this flow with your alignment then? Sometimes some things just have to end.
Yeah, I had a conversation with one of my clients recently where it was really a friendship conversation, but she's also a client. But and she was talking about the path, like, you know, the path that she sees, and she knows that there's a transition ahead. But she's like, I want to reach this point prior to transitioning, like this feeling of completion, right? And my next question instinctively was, and so what if that doesn't happen? And, you know, like, just from the standpoint of we can't control the transition. Like sometimes the transition is more powerful or more important than the current thing. So what, you know, will you be okay if the transition happens before you reach this point of feeling complete in the current? Because sometimes the tide changes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love that idea of like the, you know, fluidness, because, well, I totally understand the hesitancy to say to like let life happen, because I do believe that people are in some situations because they have not thought about, like, because they think things just happen. And there is that part of planning and working towards something, right? But it's got to be a fluid plan. Like, it can't be, you know, like we've all seen that agenda where, you know, every minute of the day is scheduled, and then, you know, there's like that 5 minute bathroom break, and it's like 400 people, and you're like, how they gonna, how ever, in fact, this not gonna work. And when you are set in that like rigid state, one thing like let that first person start late. You didn't like messed up the whole day, right?
Yeah.
We have to be open. We have to leave room. We have to leave space, you know, and the calendar detox, I talk about white space on your calendar. We have to leave space because life will happen. And I used to think about that as far as, you know, like people die, things, you know, like that, like emergencies happen. But at a certain point, it dawned on me, it's not just leaving space for random emergencies, it's also leaving space for life in the sense of living. In the sense of, you know, if I don't have space, then I can't go on the trip. If I don't have space, then I can't meet this new person in the coffee shop and we connect and, you know, become great friends. If I don't have space, you know, there have been so many times that I've been at a place and randomly met a person and I'm like, okay, well, I've been talking to you for like an hour and a half now. Like, you know, I have to like pay attention, like, okay, wait, okay, I got somewhere to be. But if I didn't have space, I wouldn't have been able to be whatever I needed to be for that person in that moment, or have that moment that I needed for myself.
Right. I mean, you think of that space as your rest.
Yes.
Because again, we talk about balance. Life needs to be balanced. So much as you're working, the other space needs to be there for you to rest and not just sleep, because I definitely warn people, don't sit there and be like, something's going on, I'm just going to go take a nap. Nope. It's going to be there when you wake up.
Well, it will be. Now, you know, I am a big proponent of naps, but yes, it will. The problem will be there.
Nap ain't going to solve you being angry. It's going to solve. You're going to wake up angry. That goes up. You know, and then they already did a study that if you lose a couple of hours of sleep, guess what? You never actually get it back. You just gonna go and hey, you take the rest that your body needs. Next step.
Right. No, but I think you do have to. I think we need to have an extended idea of rest.
Yes.
You know, like, because I think that, you know, again, I will take a nap. They know, everybody knows I will take a nap in a heartbeat. Like, you know, the whole world will be on fire and I'll be like, look, I'm going to take a nap real quick until y'all figure this out. I'm going to wake up and I'm wake up and find a fire extinguisher. I will take a nap, but it's being restful. So many, and I've been there, so I'm not saying it from a standpoint of not understanding, but so many people can't even sit still.
Right.
Like, literally just sit. It's like, you know, you're moving, you this, you that. You know, I'm like, especially, like, now, like, other people's anxiety, like, makes me anxious. So I'm just like, I'm gonna need you to calm all the way down. Like, can we breathe together? Can we do something? Because you're stressing me out. Like, I just want to sit here. But we can't sit. Like, you know, and I tell people that all the time, I'm like, well, just maybe sit for a minute. Maybe try to sit for a minute. And that's like so hard because of this like grind culture ingrained in us. And then there's guilt associated with sitting. But what I know is my rested brain is more creative. My rested brain is more productive. So me trying to just push through to get stuff done, I mean, I might get some stuff done, maybe. I don't know if it's right. I don't know if it's good. But my rested brain can come back and be like, bam, like all that stuff that was on fire, like before, when I can pull myself out and sit down and either take a deep breath or, you know, sometimes, look, I'm gonna take that nap and come back to it with fresh eyes, with a fresh brain, without all of the, you know, urgency and anxiety that is associated with it in that moment. When I can come back to it, I can tackle it. When I'm pushing through, man, look, I'm making mistakes. I'm not giving quality work, and I'm just setting myself up to continue to make bad decisions. 'Cause when I don't stop myself, I look up and I'm like, how did all of this stuff get on my calendar? Where the hell did all of this stuff come from? But it was me making decisions as my tired self. Yeah. Rest. Rest.
That's needed.
Rest. And don't feel guilty about it. I mean, my grandmother used to say, my grandmother used to love to cook. And she would say, she'd be in the kitchen, and she, if she dropped something, she'd say, oh Lord, I done went to dropping stuff. Time for me to go sit down. And you know, just some old people say, I was just like, whatever. And now it's like a one, it's a running joke in the family, but two, like I will say that about other stuff in my life. Like when I'm like working on something and I'm like, I start messing stuff, I'm like, oh Lord, look, it's time to take a break. It's time to go sit down. Sometimes you have to reset to be able to be the best version of yourself. Okay, so as we wrap up, I do want to ask you one more question. What are some tips that you can provide to someone that's trying to find balance?
To take that moment we talked about earlier, that was like not ideal. I totally agree, it's not ideal, but it's necessary. I would definitely like take the moment and take as much moment as you need, just to pause and regroup, because that's pretty much what it is. You need to pause and regroup. You need to figure out what's causing the imbalance. You need to figure out how to add more rest in, and we could have an entire different segment on what rest is, right? Because it's not just I'm gonna take this day at the beach. It could be, but it's not just that. I think I described one day I had a big issue with trying to renew my license this past year, and it caused a big struggle and headache and more money and a drive to Baton Rouge that I need. And
Love
afterwards,
that DMV.
God. And I just like, after everything was done, I was just like, I had joked that I would go get me a glass of wine. I said, you know what? No, I can't stand clutter, and my apartment looks atrocious. And I sat for another 2 hours and I cleaned. That was my rest. And what it did was, it was intentional on releasing the physical representation of the clutter that I felt. And so rest can be very intentional. It doesn't have to be that I'm just sitting around doing nothing. it can be constructive towards what it is that I need at that time.
Yeah.
So like for me, I do a lot of meditations because I'm meeting with so many people in the day. I'm taking in that energy. I need to be able to release it. So my rest is at the end of the day, I'm doing a meditation to release it. I got to get that energy away. And then I'm reset at some point in the week. I'm resetting my apartment. We sage in the place. We open in the window. We getting all of it out, especially if I'm doing work from home. I'm doing something. My rest has a lot to do with how am I rejuvenating myself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
the space. And that can be from as simple as I'm cleaning to some meditation to I'm doing things that I want to do. So like I have a scarf that's it's we ain't gonna talk about how long I've been working on the scarf, but I'm trying to crochet a scarf. And it's that could be rest. I've now joined a book club with friends and I'm reading the book. I'm like, this is so exciting. I haven't like read for fun so much.
Right.
That could rest. You know, and that also are things that like bring back that creativity side of us that we're missing from constantly being on and working. Because if my brain does nothing but that, I don't have time to grow. Actually, great thing to look at for people who want to grow in whatever field that they're in is to start taking a moment for yourself. Because if you're not sure where to go next, or if you're like, I used to love what I do and now I don't like it, I need to be able to rest so I can figure out what are the things that are causing me to really not like what I want to do.
Yeah.
Maybe I get back into the things that make me feel happy and make me feel good.
Right.
About this. Maybe there's some artistic piece of it. You know, it makes me feel good about it. And then you may find yourself reinvigorated enough to keep pushing forward
right.
and to find space or another avenue of what it is that you're doing.
Yeah, I totally, oh, yes, all of that. Like, my husband thinks it's so weird that sometimes I just want to get up and clean. And it is because it's something about the, you know, that clearness that it's symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
It's very symbolic of like clearing my mind. Another thing that I may do, like I may, you know, it may to somebody else look like work, but sometimes it's just mapping stuff out. That is restful to me because while I'm on the go, all that stuff is jumbled up in my head and I'm trying to process it all and I can't focus. But when I can just write it down and I can just say, okay, this is this and that is that, that is restful to me. So sometimes I might go sit somewhere like, you know, in nature and just do that because it just relieves me and it puts me in a position that like when I do re-enter, I'm re-entering from a space of calm and not from a space of chaos. And so that type of stuff definitely like resonates and it's going to be different for different people. You know, I'm an introvert, so it's not going to be going to a party. You know, like for somebody else, it might be, you know, they may get recharged by being around a lot of people. I'm more like, you know, me and a girlfriend sit out and have a conversation. That's more my speed of like, you know, doing something that's not work, that's joyful, just hanging, you know, but yeah, it doesn't always have to be, you know, that you are like, you know, still and, you know, not, you know, active, but it, sometimes your brain got to go to sleep. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And your brain doesn't go to sleep the minute you hit the pillow. That's actually the worst thing you could do. Is to be working so much and then you just drop dead once you hit the pillow. No, that's definitely not going to help you get that restful sleep.
No, because that's when I have crazy dreams. Because my brain's still trying to, but my brain like, you went to sleep. But I still got some stuff to figure out. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, what is happening? But it's trying to process, like, you gave it too much stuff to process in, like, it's awake time. So it's like, okay, well, girl, look, you lay down, but I'm about to run this through, and it's not gonna make no kind of sense because I'm gonna jumble it together with a axe murderer, and you're gonna have to try to figure out what why he was there. But
Somebody listens to true crime podcasts, I see.
I actually don't. I had to stop. I like, so I'm a problem solver and I like crime and detective shows and stuff like that. But I also have a very, active imagination. And so I had to stop watching. I used to watch IDTV while I was like at the gym, and my husband was like, girl, yeah, I know. He's like, you a little too paranoid at this moment. And so yeah, I had to.
When you have ex murderers in your dream, do you think
I
it's
had to stop. No, because I was getting kind of jumpy, and he was like, all right, this you he's like, I gotta he don't he's very laid back. He don't say much about a lot of things. But he was just like, you know what? I'm seeing some negative effects of you watching this, and you're gonna have to stop. And I was like, you know what, you're right, because I'm a little terrified right now because everybody's trying to kill everybody. So yeah, I found that that wasn't restful. I can't watch like some people veg out on like trash TV. I can't watch like reality TV. Like it messes with my world order, so I just can't. I just learned it about myself. I like watched like I got like 3 episodes in, and I was like, I don't like these people. Like, I don't like these people. They don't do good things. So I have to be mindful of that as well. Like, sometimes we are overstimulated.
Yeah.
And knowing how to disconnect, when to disconnect, and when something is adversely affecting you. That's not even a part of your reality. Like, it's not even your world. That's like something else. But sometimes we take those things in, and it's like, you know what? No. This is not giving me warm and fuzzies. Gotta go. So I think that that's a part of it as well. But I don't wanna drag it too much longer. I wanna wrap up, but I foresee us coming back and talking about rest in more detail, because I do think that we have to really dig into that, and even knowing, reconnecting with what brings you joy.
Yeah.
Because we lose that in the hustle and bustle. We're doing all these things, but we ain't happy. So just figuring that out, like, just go try something that you remember you used to like, even if it was from when you were 5, and just try it and see if it still brings you joy. I still like to play with bubbles. I mean, I'm just gonna be honest with y'all. Bubbles make me happy. I have adult coloring books because I like to color.
Right.
Makes me happy. But the, pre, breakdown self didn't realize that. So look for those things in life that bring you joy, and try to bring those into your life on a daily basis. Like, not necessarily bubbles every day, but something. Like, you shouldn't. Like, it's not like, you have to eat your vegetables before you have dessert. Like, you can have joy, like,
Yeah.
just 'cause.
Good. Yeah.
I mean, you grown, you can have cake just 'cause too. I mean, you just go and get one.
Yeah, that's me. I just
No,
go
nobody's stopping you.
make little individual size cakes.
Right.
I lived off of the individual pre-cut sliced king cakes this Mardi Gras season. I don't know how my body's going to react to the fact I had a lot more king cake than I usually do, but what's
And you know what? This season, I did not have a single king, single. I did not. And we normally go get one on King's Day, and I didn't. I wasn't feeling it on that particular day because my birthday and my husband's birthday all run together. So we had been caking and this and that. And I was just like, eh. And so I said, when I feel the urge, I'll go get one. And one day I did, but the line was so long, I was like, Jesus, no, it's okay. It is cold outside and it is raining and y'all are standing out here like it's not. And I kept driving.
I got caught in the trap of Bywater Bakery that would offer different flavors, and it was like, oh, well, maybe we should go try this. Maybe we should go try this. It was the whole time. Like they had like an apple cinnamon,
Oh, goodness.
and so it was like, well, I'm gonna go get a slice of this.
But hey, you can do that. That's the thing. You can do it. You can do, I'm just saying,
I don't know
do
what my
whatever
doctor,
you want, you
but you
know,
know,
and don't let nobody make you feel a way about it. I went get a cake one time and the lady said, what you want me to write on? I said, ma'am, you can write whatever the hell you want to order cake. I'm just gonna slice it up when I get home. But I mean, if you want to practice your handwriting, I mean, you know, have fun.
I mean, you could have said to Danny because it's Tuesday.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you our wrap up question. So
Yes.
the first is tell me about your favorite pajamas.
My favorite pajamas. I'm not in my, I don't know if I have a favorite set of pajamas. I'll say this, I think getting older, I understand the wonderfulness of a muumuu. Like just nice
Girl,
big.
I want one so bad, and my husband and my child say I can't have one.
Don't let them do that, T. Go on, you go get your.
Well, see, I saw this very elegant, like, you know, Felicia Rashad-esque, you know, muumuu, and I was like, I'm gonna try to slide that in the rotation and see if they notice, because, you know, it was giving, you know, ambiance. You know, I think that they are vetoing the, you know, the mama's family style muumuu. You know, that's what
No,
they say.
we don't want that, but we
That's the
like
one
big,
that they.
I guess the big kimono side, we like those.
Yes.
I'll say, I guess for the moment, these are the newest and nicest ones. I know I have Victoria's Secret becoming with the nice little pajama sets.
Okay.
So sometimes I just roll mosey on in there and be like, oh, well, you.
Right.
And I don't often do sets when I'm sleeping. I usually am more so like if I'm traveling, I have like a top and bottom because you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
Do some bottoms. So I'm wearing that today, like a pants version of it. So.
Yeah, I have a pajama problem, so I just, you know, I got every kind you could think of, from frumpy t-shirts all the way up to, you know, these are my formal pajamas because they're for work. So,
There you go. A formal.
all right, next question. My time freedom allows me to.
Do whatever the hell it is I want. Oh.
That look, that's the answer. That's the answer. No, I mean, 'cause sometimes I just don't want to. And I like that I can not want to, and that'd be okay.
I'll say this. I was scrolling through. I had an Instagram reel popped up of women like 30, 35, 40 something kind of crying. You know, I don't have kids. I don't have a husband. Da da da. And I just kind of sat there and I'm like, I mean, you know, I would like a husband because some of these bills. But I'm good. I got a little fur baby. I'm happy right now. I can do whatever I want.
And I think that the beautiful thing about that is when you start going on some of these journeys of growth is finding contentment. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that there's, you know, a part of this being on is living up to standards that are not personal to you. And so it's like, you know, well, I gotta, you know, I have to do this because the world has defined this as success. But when you get off that hamster wheel and you figure out what it is you want out of life, you know what I'm saying? And you start accomplishing those things, and those things are usually intangible things, you know, but you when you start to see those things happening in your life, you don't really be worried about what nobody else think about it, 'cause you chilling,
Right.
because you're content. You are content and you are enjoying what is happening in your life. And it doesn't have to look like what somebody else expects for it to look like. It doesn't have to, you know, feel that way. And it doesn't, I don't know. I'm a big believer of not imparting your life goals onto other people.
Yes.
Because, you know, people gonna ask you, and the questions don't stop. It don't matter if you did the thing or not. People gonna ask you if you married, do you have kids? Once you have kids, then when you gonna have another child? If you don't leave me in my uterus alone,
Okay.
what difference do it make to you? Like, I told somebody one time, I said, if you just want to have cake and look at little baby socks, I said, that's just go do it. Don't involve me in it though. Like, but I feel like there's always these pressures, you know what I'm saying? And I'm concerned about being happy. That is my goal. That is the thing that I am working towards on a daily basis. And it ain't gotta look like nobody else's idea. And real talk, I mean, we did an episode earlier. Last month's episode was about marriage, and marriage is work. I mean, you counsel married couples, you know, marriage is, it's work. So I'm not saying not to do it. I'm not saying, I mean, look, I'm about to be 20 years deep. I love my husband and I love our relationship, but marriage is work just like any other thing. Just like I don't tell people because I'm an entrepreneur, you should be an entrepreneur. I'm not gonna tell you to go ahead and get married either. That is
Right. Y'all have fun with that.
Look, like you said,
Look,
you could do whatever you want.
I don't want it, but I'm happy right now. Do whatever I want.
Right, you do
Want to
whatever you.
go to a coffee shop? I want to go take a drive to the beach in the cold. I'm going. I'm good. Do what I
I'm
want.
just gonna make this statement because this is just something that's been heavy on my heart about a lot of things.
Okay.
People can do stuff that is different than you, and it be okay.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we have gotten to the point in society where it's not good enough that I'm doing the thing that I'm doing. I have to make everybody else want to do the thing that I'm doing. People can be happy. People could be, you know, everything doing something different than what you're doing. You could like Coke and they could like Pepsi, and it's gonna be okay.
Don't be okay. Believe.
But I just wanted to put that out there because it drives me up a wall. It's like, well, you know, you if you work for somebody, you're a slave. No, you work for somebody. Like some people take a career path, some people take an entrepreneurship path. It's like I'm an entrepreneur. My husband, he's an engineer. He has a career as an engineer. We both cool with it. He has no desire to be an entrepreneur, like zero. And it's cool. Sorry, went off on a tangent. What's the best advice that you could give someone seeking a Profits in Pajamas lifestyle?
Pretty much what I said before of just being present. Learn how to be present. The easiest way to get to know yourself and what it is that you truly want, how things are flowing with you, is to be present.
I love that. Okay, so is there anything in particular that you want to share with the audience that you're promoting? that you're a part of that you want to share with the audience?
I mean, everything's kind of quiet right now. I know you do want me to offer some information on the
NOLA Black Mental Health Matters organization.
That's come across, I apologize. On NOLA Black Mental Health Matters. And so right now we're in more of a reconstructing, so there's not a lot that we're right now, so I don't have any like new information. But we are a collective of Black women in mental health professionals, and it goes across the board of who we are and even states. It was started in New Orleans, and the home base is here. But the idea is to offer educational information on mental health for our community, as well as ways of finding affordable and sustainable mental health opportunities. And so we have like a couple of our staple events are Wellness Wednesdays, and Lounge downtown, as well as Power Hour, which is a interview via Instagram that we do. And so we'll also be a part of different events throughout the year, depending upon what it is, always dealing with promoting mental health in the Black community. And so when we go off on a wide range of different topics, we just did a Power Hour yesterday, which was in the original format, which is kind of like a panel of us, where we're just kind of talking about things and posting on Instagram. Usually it's an interview. It kind of gives a little bit of the styling of what Wellness Wednesdays is, and it's like a topic, a panel discussion. We'll have other people come in. And also, everyone is welcome to join us on those days to also ask questions or just be part of the conversation. So.
Awesome, awesome. And I will get the links and everything for that to put in the show notes so that people can connect. But I think that that's beautiful to have that space and to bring mental health to the forefront into the community. And I think that we have to get to a place. I think we're getting there, but, you know, I want to continue to get to a place where we're not just looking at mental health as like, you know, extremes, like that is normative. Like, you go to your annual checkup with your doctor, you know, for your physical health. Like, that's just something that you do. It's normal. We need to start looking at that as normal. Like, life is a lot, and there's nothing wrong with getting help to think things out and navigate and figure out stuff. And we all got things that, you know, we never fully processed from when we were five that are affecting how we operate today, because we never sat down with someone that could help us to process those things. So I think that that's really
good. They hear me out really quickly.
Oh, a meow. That's okay. We are pet friendly. Walter didn't come to this recording, but he normally is sitting in on all of the recordings. So we are pet friendly, and sometimes he says hello. But yeah, I think that that's beautiful, and we'll share that in the show notes. And what is the best way for people to stay in contact with you if they want to reach out to you or work with you as a therapist?
Well, if you want, then it was a claw in my thigh. I apologize.
No, I understand. I'm
a
dog mommy.
That's there. And so if you want to just connect or see what I'm doing, I try to post on that. Or same thing with NOLA Black Mental Health Matters. We're also on there on Instagram. Do have a website. I'll give it to you. It's through the practice management system, so it's a little wonky. But if you want to just go to the website, if you're interested in signing up for therapy, that's an easy way to do it. I have connected to some people via Instagram. You could always go through my office number or email address to find me. Another easy way, I always direct people to Psychology Today because it's like a very comprehensive list of other therapists, because sometimes I may not be the person for you. I may not have your insurance, but Psychology Today has a really great database of therapists. NOLA Black Mental Health Matters, actually, if you go through the Instagram, we have a directory that we created of Black mental health professionals. If you're looking for something, someone specifically who's a POC, like there's a few people, not just therapists, there's social workers, there's they have a few coaches on there, like people, you know, if you're interested in that as well.
Okay, yeah, I think that that's a great resource for people to find someone. I know that that's, I know it's something that's important to me, and I know it's important to a lot of other people to have someone mm-hmm. who, you know, looks like me, has had, you know, some shared experiences, so that we not starting from like scratch. Like you at least like kind of have context of like this on top of, you know, just the regular things that we experience as a collective. So I know that that's like very important in working with people, especially something as intimate as therapy. So I want to thank you for being here, for sharing, and being open, and, you know, stepping on a couple of toes. You know, I can't always be the one to step on toes. It's okay. They're gonna be all right. They
right?
They look, they keep coming back. So, you know, they
that's the thing.
So their toes must be resilient. But I appreciate you coming on and speaking with us. And yeah, we will have to touch base again about rest. I might do a, because I have a few people who have come on that align with that topic. We may do a panel discussion.
Love it. I'll be on a couch with PJs. It'd be great.
Look, I'm working on my office, this office. I have another office for the other business that I just finished, but I'm working on this office, and I really want to like put a actual bed in here.
Mm.
I really do. But you know, coming. TBA. But thank you again for being here. I'll put everything in the show notes. I am working on a few things behind the scenes, so I'm not going to even say right now, because, you know, things may be a little different by the time that it airs. But just check the show notes for any other highlights and updates that's happening in the workflow universe. And I will see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to the Profits in Pajamas podcast. I hope you got some great tips to start working with ease. Want to stay connected? Follow me at Your Workflow on Instagram. For more information about building your luxury brand, register for my upcoming luxury brand workshop at CoachDannyD.com.